This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Seven and a half to the hour. It's time now for the weekly talk radio roundup, a review of the hot hits in news talk radio as described and verified by the folks at Talkers Magazine. You can find this list of the top 10 stories both at talkers.com and at djvshow.com. We post it on our social media as well. As a matter of fact, we have some questions that pertain to some of the issues of the week. If you'd like to respond, we'll have a report from Jay Kirshner during the hour as to what your responses are to some of our questions regarding the issues of the day, people that are, folks are talking about, what's going on, the events. The story list starts at number 10, ladies, with the Gabby Petito case. I've been saying Petino. You say Petito, and it is Petito, and that's kind of a strange thing. We'll get to that with some thoughts, comments, and reality. Facebook, I want actually, to have an update from Victoria, because she's our person in charge of that sort of information. Facebook, well, there have been a couple of different announcements this week that we ought to go over. The continuing focus on fraud claims in the January 6th investigation. I wish this would just go away because it seems to be nonsense. That's my comment. I won't probably get into it any more than that. The whole situation with Texas, the abortion bill, if that's what you want to call it, is number 7. The fact that Matthew McConaughey has a lead over current Governor Greg Abbott, one would wonder if it has to do in part with this sort of thing. The weather situation is number 6. China is 5. Immigration is 4. Some pretty interesting things going on with Haiti that we'll get to. The economy is 3. And the UN meeting for the first time in this session, with all the comments from various world leaders, number 2, and as usual, unfortunately, still number 1 is COVID and all the related ancillary stories, which include the Biden administration reimbursing Florida, or at least districts in Florida, that had funds held up over mask mandates. Who remembers this Department of Education actually reimbursing about $150,000 to a school district that was penalized for mandating masks and for in-person learning? I thought that that was taken care of. I don't know why.
The governor, Governor DeSantis said that he would, that basically any school district that decided to go ahead with a mask mandate after he did this he did like a ban on mask mandates, which is like, you're getting into a million double negatives, but he basically said that you would lose your funding if you go against his executive order. So there are some school districts that were just hit really hard with COVID, and they made the individual decision, we'll take the risk, and we're going to keep the students and the teachers safe, and that's what they did. So the education secretary did say from the beginning that, you know, we're not going to let you lose your funding. We'll reimburse you. So this was
state money that was withheld from the districts, or this was federal money that the governor just decided not to give to districts that mandated masks?
Well, the state funds the schools, right? So the state money funds the schools.
Well, local money does. State money, supposedly, yeah, federal so money.
State money funds the schools, and then you had a bunch of school districts that said, we're going to do the mask mandates, even though in the state that was deemed to be illegal. It's very much the same thing that's going on in California, where you have schools that say, we're not going to do the mask mandate because we don't believe it's effective, and we don't think that kids are going to be able to learn with the masks on their face. And Gavin Newsom has held back funding from those schools. So it's very much the same kind of mix, except it's opposite day in Florida, where the governor says, leave it up to the parents and the kids. They can wear masks if they want to, but that the school can't mandate it.
Huh?
What do you mean? The school can't mandate your child will not be taught unless your kid is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. But if you're a parent or a kid and you want your kid to wear a mask, you can do that.
Okay.
It's not like masks aren't allowed. It's that it's up to the parent rather than the school.
My grandson in first grade And a school in Bel Air, as a matter of fact, has been wearing a mask, and the kids in the class have been wearing a mask. And maybe it's the age, but they don't have a problem because they've spent the last year and a half with it, sort of grown up on it. And maybe there's a difference when
you're in
high school.
I don't think we're really going to know the outcome in either direction until the kids your grandkids' age are old enough to know if there was a difference made. I mean, it's really hard to tell. People say, well, the masks aren't impacting learning. And then there are people who are saying the masks are. And the truth is, we're not going to know, and we're not going to know how broad it is until those kids get old enough and if we see that they're okay or not based on their circumstances.
But also, I think that, hang on one second, one other thing that has been an argument, or not an argument, but a point that's been raised a lot with the mask thing is, you know, kids in public schools, depending on what state you're in, you know, they have to go through active shooter drills. To me, that's a lot more traumatic than having to wear a mask when everyone knows it's a pandemic.
But I think
if anything's going to psychologically impact kids, it might be the fact that they are prepared to be shot at when they go to school. I mean, my mom remembers, and Doug, you probably did this too, those drills where you had to get under your desk in case of, like, nuclear war.
Yeah. The Russians, right.
Right.
But here's the thing. I think it's less about trauma. Obviously, we want our kids to be prepared if there's a school shooting, because that's the new reality, is that there are sometimes school shootings. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but it is, and you want your kid to be prepared. I think it's less about trauma, this argument about masks, and more about learning. There are a lot of kids, especially with special needs and learning disabilities, that I think, according to their parents at least, are having a harder time connecting and keeping up in classrooms because they're having a hard time either hearing their teacher, the teacher's having a hard time deciding who's actually having trouble, who's getting concepts, that kind of stuff. So your more communicative kids, I think, are going to be doing fine because they'll say, hey, I don't understand this, or they'll volunteer that. But for those kids, and I was one of them, so I can kind of, like, identify who were super shy. If I were hiding behind a mask, I would probably like it because I didn't want to be seen in school, but I would also probably slip through the cracks more because I would never say, hey, I don't understand that. Can you review it again? So I think it really is going to depend on the kid and their personality as to whether or not, you know, they're tracking with what's going on in the classroom. And maybe everything will be fine. We just simply don't know at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also another added factor in peer pressure, because you have kids who some are wearing masks, some aren't, and as politicized as adults are making it, it trickles down to the kids as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the argument for uniforms in school, that it takes away that, you know, peer pressure of who's wearing what and who's spending what on their outfits and stuff, yeah. But if it should be, all kids should be in the same thing, right? You don't want half the kids in uniforms and half the kids get to wear, you know, their new Jordans. And then I think the half and half thing of some kids wearing masks and become targets maybe by other kids who are not wearing masks, it becomes a big problem.
Children can be pretty cruel.
Yep.
Number four issue this week on the list from Talkers Magazine, the story list has to do with immigration. The special envoy for Haiti has resigned this week from his position. He wrote in his letter that he will, quote, not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees. Well, what are we supposed to do with them? I guess that's the question. There have been a lot of questions that have come up this week in conversation about the how these people got from Haiti to Mexico or wherever it is they're coming in from. It is a mess. Complete mess. Yeah.
This guy that resigned, his name's Daniel Foote, and he said that he's upset that the Biden administration was deporting some of these people back to wherever they came from. And as of right now, I think only 300 to 400 or 500 of them have actually been sent back. The rest, most of them have actually now been let into the country, which is also outrageous. So you've got a no-win situation here for the Biden administration, really for all of us who are dealing with this. But the dirty secret is that a lot of these people are not coming from Haiti. They are coming from places like Brazil. They're coming from places like Chile. And they were waiting. These are people who have been in those countries working jobs and waiting. They have the resources to get here. And they felt because now is the time with the border open that they would come into the country at this moment. So this is, you know, it's not like everybody is a poor, you know, person in Haiti who was taken out by natural disasters and by a corrupt government. A lot of these people have been out of Haiti for years and have just chosen now is the time to come to the United States. So it's pretty complicated. It's not just one group of people. And the story out this week is that not only is Del Rio, Texas now the hotbed, but Yuma, Arizona has been hit in the last couple of days by, I think, another 9 or 10,000 migrants. And they're coming in from 24 different countries. So these are not people who are just escaping the hardest of conditions or the harshest of conditions. These are people who are coming here because they think they can. They think they're going to be handed a paper to appear, and they're just going to disappear in. And how much more of that can we withstand? Without sounding heartless, I mean, it's very possible that we're going to have more than 2 million people that came in just this year alone. And that's, you can't hold that up. It's just too many people.
Why are we responsible? This guy says, there are a lot of problems over there, and yes, there are, and it's awful, but why is it our problem? Where's the international community? Where are all the other countries? Why is it that we become the dumping ground for people from countries? This is what, you know, I look at the points or think of the points that we need to make here. Why, my first question, why do we need to let these people in here? Why aren't they going, isn't there some solution that's an international solution? And did they even bother to talk about it at the UN meeting this week? Was there any focus on all of these illegal immigrants that are not only coming here, but if you go to Europe, a lot of people from the Middle East are still trickling into in Afghanistan, trickling into some of the countries in Europe. So that's the number one question. And number two, when to get in here, what are we doing with them? We're paying for stuff in one way or another. And we've done it because we've made the unemployment rules so liberal that people still are not working. So there's a need. A lot of employers are happy to see these people come in because they'll have folks to do the work that needs to be done. So it's a pretty sticky, messy situation that it seems to me good leadership could fix. So maybe the question is, where's the good leadership? And you can answer that for yourself. 18 past the hour. This is the Talk Radio Roundup.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart.
These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe.
Doug Steffen here. I spent a lot of time talking about MyPillow products. Now they've done it again. They announced the introduction of new My Slippers. My Slippers took a couple of years to develop to ensure that they are the highest in quality and comfort, just like everything else at MyPillow. These are designed for all day, indoor use, outside wear. My Slippers are made with quality suede and the exclusive 3-tier cushioning system, combining layers of MyPillow fill, impact gel, and comfort memory foam to absorb impact and relieve pressure. Your feet will never feel the same. Whether you prefer the moccasin or the slip-on style, My Slippers available right now, a variety of colors and sizes. Go to MyPillow.com, look for the My Slippers new page, get 50% off. That's the new My Slippers. Get 50% off. Discount code DJV, mypillow.com.
Now that the school year is underway, do you know how your child is doing in math? At Mathnasium, each student is provided with a customized learning plan based on an individual assessment. They'll get the live face-to-face instruction they need, either in-center or online, to accelerate their math skills and take on the rest of the school year with confidence. Join over 1 million parents who have trusted Mathnasium to give their children an edge in math. To learn more and to schedule a free consultation, visit us at Mathnasium.com. Mathnasium, we're changing lives through math.
Talk Radio Countdown. This is the overview of what's going on. The DJV program is a program that's heard around the country. Many of these same stations over the weekend that carry the countdown, carry the DJV program. You can check us all out at DJV Show on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And you can get downloads of our podcast every day at DJV Show Download. And listen to the program live wherever you get your podcasts, or at DJVShow.com. How about that? 21 after the hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Three after the hour now, the Talk Radio Review, the countdown stories, and people will get to the people list in the next half hour, and some more comments about what's going on, thoughts, and the whys and wherefores. Right now, though, I've invited you to answer some of the questions and comment on some of the things, the items that are on the DJV socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So, Jay, take us through some of the questions and some of the responses from our listeners.
Well, COVID still remains a hot topic. So one of the big questions, do you still wear a mask? Why or why not? Sue Wilson says, nope, vaxxed and not worried, just trying to live life once again. Well, Sally Wellburn says, absolutely, I have been vaccinated, but I could still carry the virus in my nasal passages. 54 people died in Washington State yesterday.
Wow. Who else? Let's see here. Is there anything that you saw there from any of our listeners that seemed unusual, or is that the take is the same pretty much all the way around?
It's pretty much some people either aren't wearing them. There are a couple who said that they've never had to wear one. If they want to go to a business and the business requires it, they just don't go into that business.
So, I see one person here who, Billy Dale Cummings, who says he only wears it at the doctor's office. This would be a good time for you to tell a quick story about your week with your family, because your husband has COVID and you've been sort of working around that, because you both work from home on different radio programs and you got a one-year-old baby. So give us a few moments on how it is that you have worked around that, how you've survived, in fact, what you have to do.
I feel like I'm not surviving. When they say it takes a village to raise a child, they're not being facetious by any means. I'm exhausted. I am doing everything myself, but I also don't want to complain to my husband about it, because he's the one that's actually going through COVID, and he's the one that's feeling ill, and he's the one that has to be quarantined from us. And it's so difficult watching. My husband will come out of the room that he's quarantined in to use the restroom, which is on the other side of the house. We're staying away from, but Mac will see him, and Mac wants to run over to him, and he doesn't understand why Daddy can't come play with him, and and that is heartbreaking, and it's just, you know, trying to keep everything clean. But it's not even just this past almost 2 weeks now with Ryan's COVID. It almost started last month with my lungs and the asthma and the allergies and not being able to see doctors because nobody's seeing you if you're sick, and then you do have COVID, so they're definitely not seeing you. And it is just, this whole thing is astounding. And one of my big takeaways, especially this week with Ryan having COVID, is how many people reached out to us. Not to see how we're doing, but to commend us for staying quarantined. Like, really? That's the commendable thing, that we're staying quarantined?
So many
Aren't you supposed to?
Like we talked about, because Ryan got it from someone who had the vaccine, who had COVID, who didn't stay quarantined. And so I think there are a lot of people that get this false sense of security, especially once they're vaxxed, that, well, I have the vaccine, so I can, I mean, it's still really about whether or not you're sick, you have symptoms, all of those things, and you've just got, people are not responsible about that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
No. And it's almost one of those things of, well, if I don't see it, it's not happening. People are sick. They have some symptoms, but then they're chalking it up to something else. They're like, well, it's not COVID,
it's allergies,
it's this, so I'm not even going to go get tested. If you have anything, just go get tested. What's the harm in just making sure?
Not any
just stay away from people if you don't want to get tested.
That's
stay away,
You know, stay away. That's very accurate, too. Absolutely.
All right, one of the other questions has to do with the big controversy in Texas, abortion laws. What do you feel about them? What do you have for responses there, Jay?
Yeah, are they racist, sexist? Do they hold any socioeconomic prejudice? Are they ageist? Eric Hodges says there's no need to complicate it. Abortion is murder, period. Melba Sweetman says none of the above. Save a life and give it to someone else to love. Gary Roeder points out late term abortion is inhumane. That's what should be banned.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, I have a hard time with abortion myself. I don't think it's my business, but the other side of it is, just in a personal thing, I think seeing my grandson come along, as we have with the ultrasound, and seeing the image of this baby in the womb, really, it's startling, actually, to see when the baby actually comes to life, if you will. It's 28 after. More coming up on the Talk Radio Review.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Now that the school year is underway, do you know how your child is doing in math? At Mathnasium, each student is provided with a customized learning plan based on an individual assessment. They'll get the live face-to-face instruction they need, either in-center or online, to accelerate their math skills and take on the rest of the school year with confidence. Join over a million parents who have trusted Mathnasium to give their children an edge in math. To learn more and to schedule a free consultation, visit us at Mathnasium.com. Mathnasium, we're changing lives through math.
Why should you trust Brembo Brakes? Because 60 years of racing, testing, braking, and bettering. Because dogs in the road, indecisive squirrels, and that kid chasing the lost ball. Because tiny humans in the back seat and blind turns in front of you. Because every car should be equipped with the same kind of performance, safety, and comfort that manufacturers and professional drivers trust every day. Visit buybrembo.com and learn more about the most trusted brakes in Brembo.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Several souls have been lost as an Amtrak train derails near Joplin, Montana, in the north-central part of the state. The westbound train with 8 cars and 2 engines was en route from Chicago to Seattle when it left the tracks about 4 p.m. Saturday. In all, 147 passengers were aboard. The NTSB is investigating. Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker discussed the America of today, Saturday, at President Trump's Save America rally in Georgia. One America News caught up with Mr. Walker at the rally.
Years ago, not too many people got involved with politics, but that just shows that people care about this country, that people care about this state. I think the turnout is absolutely incredible.
The center-left Social Democrat Party, or SDP, clinched a narrow victory in Germany's historic federal election on Sunday. It's a political comeback for the SPD, making its way for Chancellor candidate Olaf Scholz to form a new government coalition and lead Europe's largest economy into the post-Merkel era. USA Radio News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Project Dynamo was the name of the operation that rescued tens of thousands of Allied soldiers from Dunkirk in northern France during World War II. Today, Project Dynamo is a civilian-run and donor-funded organization that is committed to honoring the promise made to civilians in Afghanistan that aided Americans during the 20-year war. Jen Wilson is the Chief Operating Officer at Army Week Association and spearheading Project Dynamo. Ms. Wilson on Fox News is asking for help to get Americans still trapped in Afghanistan.
I really need someone in a position of power to allow us to start moving family members of Americans. So if there's anyone in position of power that can help us fix that part, it would be an enormous help.
Republican Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee and part of the Foreign Relations Committee has stepped up to help.
We absolutely are pressing Blinken. I will continue to do that. My staff worked through the nights, through weekends. It was an incredible feat before we exited Kabul finally. We helped get loads of Americans out, and I really take my hat off to the work that my team did to work with the State Department to press them and help them. The State Department didn't have the capability on their own. We're going to continue to press them now. It's really a matter of competence, as you mentioned. We've got to press them to hold them accountable. You saw me question Secretary Blinken. There's a complete lack of accountability right now in this administration. We're going to continue to keep the pressure on. They know that we want to see results here, and I absolutely am empathetic with her request.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now 34 after the hour, second half hour of our talk radio roundup, a review of the thoughts of the people that are on the DJV program with me every weekday. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, and Jay Kirshner are all here. I want to go back just a bit, Jay, if we can, to the trending items that you have been following, social media responses. The number 7 item this week is the abortion issue, and a lot of it has to do with what's going on in Texas. But you had some, I don't know that we gave it enough time, you had some pretty strong answers that came from folks listening that were interested in answering that. But are they pretty much all, when I look at them, I think this is an issue that doesn't really change. People's thoughts are about the same. Yeah, we have to visit it every once in a while because it does pop up, like the situation in Texas. But is there anything new there? Did you see a comment that just, when you saw it, stood out among all the comments?
Yeah, the majority of comments are pretty much follow the lines of adoption is an option, abortion is murder. But some people kind of went a little bit further with it, where Karen Jacqueline says, in these modern times with so much birth control available, it's a woman's responsibility to take necessary precautions and prevent conception, not ignore responsibility and kill their mistakes. Yes. I think that it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
If you're going to blame one, you should blame both sides.
And a woman being raped who doesn't want to be on hormonal birth control, I mean, how is that not taking responsibility? I mean, come on.
Exactly. And Peggy Lou kind of echoed that with, no, take control of your life.
I think there's so much, there's not gray area. It's everything is black and white. I mean, I think what people bristle at a lot more, and quite frankly, I bristle at a lot more, is the, like, I mean, there are 42 million abortions during the year. Not all of those people are victims of rape. And I think we do have empathy, or some of us anyway, I'll just speak for myself, have empathy, obviously, for people who don't have a decision to make when they are raped or when someone is abusing them. Obviously, that's an issue. But I do bristle when people use it as their sole form of birth control. And I think there is then that conversation about, is there something else that you could do aside from just saying, oh, if something happens, I can get an abortion. I think that there is a conversation to be had about that. I think it doesn't all get put in the same cart, kind of.
Right, but one in four women in America will have an abortion before the age of 45. So you can't... There are a smaller percentage, yes, of women who are abused and raped and, you know, assaulted, and that results in a pregnancy. That's a separate category. Then there are some women who, yeah, are just, you know, irresponsible. I don't know anyone who would think that getting an abortion is somehow easier than taking a pill every day or using a condom. But the vast majority of women who get abortions are actually looking, they already either are on birth control that failed, or they have some sort of a system, you know, that they're using, whether the guy uses a condom or whatever. The vast majority are not women who are just using it, you know, willy-nilly as birth control. I mean, it's a serious procedure if you're not, you know, the pills are the at-home pills that you can take. That's, you know, that's no joke. I mean, you're still housebound. You're missing work. I don't agree with that argument. And I know a lot of people like to make that argument that most women are just using it as birth control. It's the most inconvenient thing. Well, I've heard a lot of, especially men, say, oh, well, you know, that's women just using it as birth control.
I think it all gets put into one bucket. And unfortunately, like everything else in our lives, it's not all one bucket. And that's the point that I'm making. It's not all, it's not all people using it as birth control. It's not all people who have been raped. It's not all people. I mean, it's a really complicated, obviously personal and emotional issue. And
most
I really
of the time,
does,
the conversation goes no place because people can't seem to agree. So
because
let's move on.
Because it's so intense. Yeah, it's such an intense.
All right, immigration number four. Before we left that, I wanted to spend a moment talking about what the Department of Homeland Security did this week, suspending the use of the horse patrol in Del Rio. This was a subset of this discussion, because there were a lot of images that showed the agents whipping or charging their horses at the migrants, and the visual seemed to imply they were hitting the migrants with the reins of the horses.
Well, some people got hit in the face. There are pictures of that, too, and there are video of it. I mean, it's, you know, whether that was the intention, I don't know. I'm not one of the Border Patrol people. To me, as a horse lover, I would like the horses to not be involved in that, because they were charging horses at people, trying to use them as a blockade. And I don't think that to me, that's animal abuse. So it's abusive
there are not
all
thinking
around.
About that.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, the horses
that.
Have been used traditionally, because sometimes, I mean, that border terrain is sometimes the only way that you can provide protection for the country. So now the Biden administration has decided that horses are racist and that they're going to pull them out of use at the border. So
now
we don't
have a
wall.
Racist.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the message, is that they're, you
no,
know,
I think
mean,
I don't think horses are exercising racism here. I think the accusation is that there's the one patrol guy, and his picture and video is everywhere. I mean,
yeah, and how sad.
Unmasked,
and he's doing
and
nothing.
He's,
He was doing nothing wrong. He's now on desk duty.
Obviously,
that's
debatable.
He was following Border Patrol procedures. And so this is the Biden administration, and it's their procedures. And so why would the guy be punished and put on desk duty for doing exactly what they told him to do? And so
Well, what if Trump were president? He's not. And these people are there now.
I don't think it has anything to do with Trump. This is all Biden's. Biden is the one who created this problem. And the problem also for the Biden administration with
this whole...
Sure, he did.
The two million people here
is because of Biden's messaging. Absolutely.
Okay. But the border, the guys on horseback, he didn't create that. That's not a policy.
No, but that's
that
his
Biden
border
created.
Patrol. It's his people that are running it, and that's their policy.
I think you'd find that there are a lot more Border Patrol people who voted for Trump than voted
for
Biden. Right,
but it doesn't
moving.
Matter who they voted for. And here's the point. The optics are what's bothering them. It doesn't matter about what's good or not for the country. They're letting now all of these Haitians into the country because there's a Black Lives Matter rally that's scheduled there, and they don't want the optics of Haitians being turned away.
They all do.
So they're letting them all in, 15,000 of them.
Trying to make themselves look good. Speaking of that, the UN meeting this week, the conversation behind the scenes about who's going to be the next leader of Germany, that was pretty interesting looking at the way our country works as we talk about it among ourselves and people talk about it in their lives, the different parties here and how you have polling and then we have voting. One of the things the Germans do that I prefer is they vote on weekends. They don't vote during the week. And why we can't fix that in our own reflective way is something that's crazy. Anyway, Angela Merkel has been the chancellor there for, what, 15 years or 16 years? I think she's been around for a long time now. She's not going to run. She's retiring. Both of the candidates who are trying to persuade voters to vote for them are a lot different than she is. But it's, you know, there are a lot of people who think Germany is the most powerful country in the European Union. And it may have a leader that's a little, most of the choices that they have now are center a little to the left or center a little to the right. They don't have the kind of whack job fanatics that we have here. And that's because they hold the people understand how the system works there. They don't understand primaries here and how important it is. Anyway, so the top two candidates are a guy named Olaf Scholz, who's 63. He's the guy from the left, the Social Democratic Party. The other person is Armin Laschet, who's 60, the head of the party that Merkel ran the center a little bit to the right, Christian Democratic Union. And so I think that Scholz is leading, as is the, you know, we want to change. People had 16 years of the Merkel stuff a little to the right, so now they want to go a little to the left. Be interesting to see how it shakes out, frankly. But there, I think this week, talking about Europe and optics, there was the meeting between the leaders of the United States and the leader of France. And as a matter of fact, on the list here, Emmanuel Macron is number 3. I didn't get a clear feeling because there was some kind of like nicey-nicey in public. But what did these guys have to say? You know, was it basically an up yours when they had a private conversation?
No, it seemed to be better than that. But doesn't France want to bill Australia now for, I read that somewhere, right? They want Australia to pay for their lost income.
Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, they knew that the deal was going to go south, so they weren't necessarily upset with the United States for making the deal for the submarine with Australia. They were upset about the way that it was carried out, I guess. And there's also some bad blood between Biden and Macron about Afghanistan and the way Biden withdrew the troops and withdrew and didn't really draw in our allies into that conversation because the French actually had a lot of people in Afghanistan. And so they withdrew their ambassador to the U.S. from France. That was a pretty big move as far as diplomacy. Now, that person's back after this conversation, but there was an argument about whether or not Biden apologized. I don't know what it matters if he does or not, but certainly the thing that is pointing out is that there was a difference in transcripts with the United States saying Joe Biden did not apologize and the French saying that he did. But I guess we're moving forward, and he's now just
moving
mad at the
on.
Australians. Right.
Okay, so a couple of other things that have taken the oxygen out of the rooms this week. Number 10, both on the story list and the people list, is a focus on the Petito laundry situation. And now a federal arrest warrant has been issued for this guy. Is he even still alive is the question. Where is he? And so,
no one knows.
But yeah,
I think his parents know.
So weird.
His parents know.
I think his parents
know.
Right.
I think his parents are in this. The reason I think that he is alive is that if you were a parent worth your salt, even if your child did commit murder, you would still want the safety of your child, right? You may want them to face the consequences, but they don't seem to be panicking publicly about where he is. He's gone too. It's very possible they're searching a swamp for his body to see if he fed himself to the alligators. If you're those parents, wouldn't you be out there a little bit in the public eye being a little more desperate like Gabby and Tito's parents were?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like it's just not consistent, and maybe they do know where he is.
Yeah, his parents are way too chill over this whole thing.
Yeah, it's so obvious what's going on. Number nine, Victoria and Jay, Facebook, social media issues. We had some focus in our tech reports this week, Victoria, on Facebook. You want to recap that quickly?
Well, Facebook has had a lot of different issues this week.
So I think
specifically what you're referring to is the Wall Street Journal coming after them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're coming up with a lot of facts that make a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah, and this is based on the employees. And so the Wall Street Journal did an investigation and showed that Facebook repeatedly failed to properly address crucial problems highlighted in internal studies conducted by the company's own employees, such as how the most divisive content surfaces on Facebook, which we know, in so many news feeds because of its high engagement. And so it's just, I mean, Facebook is a cesspool. It's one thing after another. And so, you know, the interesting thing, though, is that Facebook never seems to take a financial hit. Other companies with this much scrutiny would absolutely be taking much greater hits than Facebook is. And, you know, they just seem to be.
So
the executives are all about making the money, and that's it.
Yeah,
and they
Jay,
seem to be fine.
Well, the other social media companies, Twitter and Instagram, well, Twitter's part of Facebook.
Instagram's owned by Facebook.
Yeah. So what issues do you see here? Is it just the same old stuff in terms of people saying things that aren't true, especially when it comes to stuff like COVID?
And the social media platforms decide who gets to say what, which people get kind of like blacklisted or shadow banned, as they call it, where they're not really showing up in timelines. But Instagram also started this kind of new-ish thing where you scroll down on your news feed and eventually it says, oh, you've already seen everything in the past 3 days, and they won't let you see a whole bunch of other things. And you're basically only seeing the same 5 accounts, and then they start showing you accounts you don't follow who they think you would like to follow.
A roundup of the items that we're talking about on the DJV show. Thank you, ladies. 48 past the hour.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. For professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exergen.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine Pancreatic Insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Our most vulnerable veterans are isolated at hospitals. And during their greatest time of need, their loved ones can have little or no contact with them. Imagine having to shelter in place forever. Learn how you can help at healvets.org. Help Heal Veterans with the support of citizens like you is making things better together. Learn more at healvets.org. This message is furnished by Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
After the hour now, it's time for us to check and review the top five tech stories of the week as an ancillary accompaniment to both the DJV program and the Talk Radio Countdown show. We start with number five, Victoria, which we were talking about DoorDash. We have lots of conversation about that.
Yeah.
And so this is about expanding what their delivery options are, it looks like.
Yes, so they announced this week that they're expanding their alcohol delivery service to 20 new states, as well as the District of Columbia and Canada and Australia. They say that this new plan will reach 100 million adults. And so before the pandemic, DoorDash was only delivering alcohol in California, and then when the pandemic hit, they started expanding as states were, you know, trying to keep restaurants open. They eased all the restrictions with alcohol. So you can get to go, you know, cocktails, you can get to go bottles of wine or liquor from restaurants. And so DoorDash now says they'll pick up their meal, your meal, as well as whatever you want to drink. And so ID is required for, obviously you have to be 21 or older, and so they will check ID upon delivery. But this is, they say that this is actually, Uber Eats, which is DoorDash's biggest competitor, they acquired the alcohol delivery service called Drizzly, and that was just in February a couple months ago.
What a name.
I know. And that was worth $1.1 billion. So alcohol delivery is a big business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number four, as we count down to number one here, is a focus on Google expanding again.
Yeah, this was kind of a surprising move for a lot of made news this week. A lot of people weren't really thinking that Google would invest this much in real estate right now, especially at a time where most people are working from home and a lot of employees are trying to negotiate those circumstances going forward. And so Google is buying a Manhattan office building for $2.1 billion. It's one of the clearest signs so far that technology companies are, you know, they have a growing appetite for office space. And so this deal of for the new building on Manhattan's West Side is the most expensive sale of a single U.S. office building since the start of the pandemic. It's also one of the priciest in history. It's a 1.3 million square foot waterfront building. So it looks like they're heavily considering, like a lot of other tech companies, they really like New York City because you have a talent pool that's kind of unlike any other city. And so they, right now, Google employs 12,000 people in New York. So I guess they want everyone back in the office.
Between Google and Amazon taking over the world. Yeah. Number three, General Motors and a focus on the Bolt batteries that have been nothing but a problem for them.
True. And so General Motors said this week that they're going to start swapping new batteries into the Chevy Bolt electric vehicles in October. Now, this is, of course, after the massive recall that was because of dozens of fires that took place. These batteries are made by LG. They're still working with LG, and LG apparently has a software update that can help prevent these batteries from overheating and then catching on fire. So in the meantime, they say Bolt owners should still park outside, away from your home, after charging. You should not charge your vehicle indoors, and don't close the garage door if you do decide to leave it indoors. So, not fun. Lots of workarounds.
Apple's next generation operating system seems to have made it to the surface. That's number two this week, Victoria.
Yep, iOS 15 is available now for download. It has some new features that are pretty cool. Some of the highlights, the map situation has been totally overhauled. iOS brings voice isolation and spatial audio to FaceTime calls, making it easier to figure out who's talking to you on the screen and where they're coming from. You now can also share a link to FaceTime with Android users and Microsoft apps, which has never been done before. So this is really cool that now you can have other people who don't have an iPhone or, you know, any Apple device, they can join in on the FaceTime call.
All right. Number one in the top five tech stories of the week, back to Microsoft. This really is interesting. I don't understand how it'll work. You'll explain. I know you will.
Yep, so I think this is really cool. Microsoft is making it easier for those of us who struggle to keep track of our passwords or remember which ones we've used, and especially since the most common password around the planet is still password 1234. So, and that's true. And so this week, Microsoft has introduced a brand new system, and so they say Microsoft users can ditch the passwords altogether, and you can use what the company is now calling passwordless future. And so what you're going to do is you're going to log into an app you're going to use the Microsoft Authenticator, which connects to your phone or Windows Hello, and that lets you sign into your account with your face, your fingerprint, or your personal identification number, your PIN. And so customers will then also be able to use a security key or have a verification code sent to their phone, so it makes it even more, it's more secure, actually, than having a password that someone could guess. So this is good news for people who don't want to keep remembering passwords.
All right, there it is, the good news all the way around, a great overview of the top five tech stories this week. Victoria Keelan with Doug Steffen here, 59 past the hour.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage, given recent headlines, and seems likely, and at any moment? That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.